When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
Notice how busy I am between our, you know, before we start the show and between segments. You never notice that I'm always busily writing things. You never say, oh, look at that, Janice, look how busy she is.
I don't care.
Why?
Why would I care?
Well, I don't know.
Janice.
It'd be nice if you'd say, look how
busy. Do you have any idea how busy and important I am?
How busy you are.
Do you think I have time to stop and take notice of you?
Well, I just want you to say, oh, Janice, you're busy. And then I go, yeah, I am. Oh, all
oh,
right.
Oh, Janice,
then.
You are busy. Can I start the show now?
You know, but you know what? Other, you know, people, and it's true. Sometimes I think, oh, Jillian, look how busy she is. And then I think, but, and I'm not, it could never be as busy as Jillian. And then I think, look how busy I am.
You are busy just scribbling and post-its
and post-its and
papers and things. Yeah.
I'm exhausted.
I bet. Okay. I bet you.
But you can't start the show anytime. I just wanted you to notice that I was writing things.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My God, you're over there just scribbling away.
Yeah, busy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is everyone ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, good. Jake? All right. So, if you could take time from your busy schedule, Janice, and try to focus on what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
So, actually, because you're so busy, you sent me this article, and I simultaneously had seen something about it on this little paper that I read on my iPad called The Daily, and the mom, there's a story going around about a mom who put her 7-year-old on a diet.
Right.
And she wrote about it in Vogue magazine, and everybody's up in arms about it. And as a mom, you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't. I mean, so it's like, oh, you know, you've got a kid that's overweight and you're a terrible parent. I mean, of course, I'm dramatically exaggerating, but I think parents fear that people will think that about them. Or, you know, now this woman puts her kid on a strict diet and she's a terrible parent. And, you know, at the same time, Jessica Simpson's in the news. And she,
oh, my God, is she getting flack? Oh, my God.
I know. And here's the thing. Okay, I look at this, right? I'm a health person. And I'm also a health person currently writing a book about how moms can have the healthiest pregnancy and the healthiest baby. So I look at it and here's what I see. I know that number one, she's going to have a hard time getting that weight off. Now, she does have all, she's rich and she's going to have all the help in the world. Nevertheless, it makes it far more difficult to get your body back. One of the secrets, ladies, that I'm going to be teaching you is that you don't need to lose the body at all. That's the key. You gain, you know, it depends on where you're starting, but the reality is you're going to gain somewhere between 25 to 40 pounds, right? That's the thing. So when you maintain your fitness through the pregnancy, your body comes basically bounces right back. But that's a different story. That's not what I want to talk. That's not what I want to talk about.
Okay.
So I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, this is so unhealthy. So, you know, let's say she wanted to have natural childbirth. She doesn't. I believe she scheduled a C-section, but if she did, it could make it when you gain excess weight, very difficult to do because the baby is subsequently bigger. It can cause gestational diabetes. It can cause hypertension. If you want an epidural, it's difficult to place the epidural because of the excess body fat. In addition, you think about this. You're adding fat cells to your fetus.
You do, eh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and you're also developing your baby in the womb through the amniotic fluid. Smells the flavors of these foods. They can literally develop a taste for food when they're in your body. So if you're eating junk, all kids are going to crave junk, but if you can eat good things, it helps you later on for them to want or desire things like vegetables. In addition, though, think about the foods that when your baby's brain's developing, all the things that your baby's going through, the foods that you eat can have a dramatic impact on everything from their behavior, the way they sleep, their memory. I mean, everything.
Which makes sense because if a woman drinks, she's, you know what I mean? So why am I so shocked that the food, you know, it's the exact opposite effect.
Right. So the better you eat, the better able your child is to, to develop health in a healthy way. And I could go on and on and on, but when you gain way too much weight during pregnancy, it's just extremely hard on the mother in particular in all the ways that I just mentioned. And in addition, it's a disservice to the kid. It's not, okay. It's not the greatest thing for the kid. And we always tell women but women are bashing the crap out of her. And we always say like, okay, you know, we have so much pressure in our society to be a size zero, not even a six anymore. Remember when it was a perfect size six? Now it's like a zero or a two. It's ridiculous. And we're starting to see that trend change, which I love more with like, you know, the Beyoncés of the world and, you know, the Selma Hayeks and you know, that curvier, more voluptuous looking woman, which is really nice. But then a woman gets pregnant and our society's like, oh, you're eating for two. And a fat baby's a healthy baby. Like, none of that is true. None of it's true. So we send these mixed messages and then we bash we look for ways to just bash the crap out of each other. It's like, oh, you're fat during your pregnancy. Let me bash you personally. Mm-hmm. What a irresponsible blah, blah, blah you are. And then it's like, are you breastfeeding? How long are you breastfeeding? Oh, you use formula. Ooh, not a good mom. In this country, here's another thing. Think about this. Any other country in the world, okay? Any other country in the world, birth without an epidural is called giving birth without an epidural. Here, it's called natural childbirth. I mean, right away, we're like, geez, did you have natural childbirth? And what does that imply? That if you get an epidural, it's not natural. By the way, like, no one's there to give you a medal if you don't, you know, if you give birth without an epidural. Like, and there's like whole documentaries on natural childbirth, and it's just, you know, demonizing. The reality is, look, a pregnancy is unique. There are ways to make it as healthy as possible for you and your baby. And parenting is unique. You know, we're each going to have our own ways that we approach parenting. And of course, the end result is wanting the baby to be the happiest and healthiest. But when I look at our culture and our society, we are so quick to jump on moms about being crappy. Mm-hmm. All the time. And I remember I remember. I bet I remember. It was the worst moment of my career. I gave an interview to Women's Health, right? 3-hour interview. And had never really talked about having kids. This was years ago. Never really talked about having kids. It just hadn't come up. And this woman had asked me if I was going to have kids. And I said I was going to adopt. And she said, you know, why don't you have them, physically have them? And of course, you know, I'd never talked about having PCOS or endometriosis. I just wasn't prepared for the conversation. And I was like, you know, I don't know that I can handle, you know, putting my body through that. And at the time I meant like IVF and, you know, because anyway, we all know how I feel that hormones can be dangerous. And I, moving on, again, a different subject. But that's sort of what I meant to say. But when I stop and think about what I also meant is no. And so they were like, oh, Michael's, the Huffington Post created this headline, right? Michael says pregnancy ruins a body. And I became this bitch who was against pregnant moms. Which the irony is, like, they meant, like, that I thought fat, right?
Yeah.
You get fat and it would ruin your body. Which the irony is, I know for a fact that I would have no problem with that because I wouldn't gain, I'd gain the right amount of weight because I know how to control it. I'd know how to work out during my pregnancy. I'd have my little body back in 5 seconds. That part actually wouldn't be hard for me. The part that would be hard for me is puking for the first 3 months, being physically exhausted because you just, I mean, when you're pregnant, ask any pregnant woman, they will tell you that they feel like they've been invaded by the sleep monster. They're so physically tired. And maybe not the entire pregnancy, but for various trimesters, some in the first and the third. So, you know, it just depends. But I mean, the concept of giving birth is very scary. Think about that. I mean, you look at somebody and they look like they've swallowed a basketball and you're going, oh my gosh, that little thing's got to come out of you. It's yeah. Scary. Like I would sooner think, and I'm not trying to scare anybody pregnant. I'm just saying I would be scared and it's okay to say if you are worried about it or nervous about it because I would sooner think like I'd rather have a baseball come out of my nostril. It's scary. It's a scary thing. And it's just there's a lot of things that you go through as a mom, pregnant, already having your child. And I feel like we need to stop beating the crap out of each other. Stop judging each other. And yeah, there might be a better way to do it. Guess what? There's a better way to do everything. There's room for improvement for every parent out there, no matter where you're at in the process, whether it's your pregnancy or whether it's raising your kid. Like, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all a work in progress. Like, there's always room to grow and improve. And there are certain things that, sure, we should strive for. But in saying, you know, yeah, it's probably not the healthiest for Jessica Simpson, but for all of us to start bashing the crap out of her, that's not helping. Mm. Clearly, it's not helping the problem. And I think for us to bash the woman who put her 7-year-old on a diet, but let's discuss, like, how did it work for the kid? What are the positives about it? What are the negatives about it? How can we go about it? So I guess I would just say to you, like, as a woman and a parent, I would say I really want us to be able to be open with one another and to be able to show our weaknesses. You feel terrified of showing your weaknesses. Yeah. Like someone's going to bash you or judge you or look, you know, look to come after you for something. And I think whenever you find you may be doing that with another woman, instead think about how you might be able to support her, how you might be able to help. And if you can't help, honestly, then keep it to yourself, because I guarantee we're not helping Jessica Simpson by calling her whale or names or anything like that. That's not helping. And also, if you're feeling something, right, like you're pregnant and you're scared, or you're pregnant and whatever your concerns might be, you may be having a blissful pregnancy, by the way, which is awesome. There are women that get to have pregnancies. They're like, I loved it and sex was the best. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the women that say that, well, the women that didn't love it or did feel sick or did have a hard time or did have postpartum or hated having sex when they were pregnant, it makes them feel like freaks. And I just feel like we need to not judge each other. We need to be open and expressive about what we're going through. When we struggle with something, be clear about it and support one another instead of constantly with the judgment. Oh, you didn't have natural childbirth. Oh, you're using formula. Oh, you know, she gained a ton of weight. Like,
it's interesting how parenting and motherhood is a kind of carte blanche for criticism.
You know?
And like oftentimes you think, like even men are criticizing who aren't going,
I know,
who aren't going through birth or people like me who've never had a child. I've got no, I think, but it's everybody's doing it. Everybody's criticizing it. So it's an odd thing that we feel we have the knowledge to just comment.
Yes.
On something we know, some of us know nothing about.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, that's.
And I mean, I've said before, and I know moms haven't taken this the wrong way. I've said I would never take my kid to McDonald's. Well, you know, I don't go to McDonald's, so that's not going to be hard for me. With that said, you know, it's my job. I'm a health expert. I'm supposed to tell you how bad that food is for you and your kid. If for some reason you live in what's called a food desert and there's nothing but gas stations and fast food places and
tumbleweed and cow
skulls. Right, and you're living on, you know, $30,000 a year. And you're like, God, Jillian, you don't understand me and you've made me feel bad about myself. That's not my intention. My intention is to try to help you start up a co-op, a buying group with your neighbor so you can get healthier foods. My intention is to help you learn how to grow your own. My intention is to learn how to help you shop in bulk online, get coupons so you can eat healthier. But it's also my job to warn you when things aren't good for you and your family. And if you think for one second that my kid's not going to eat crap one day, not McDonald's again, because I just don't go there and I don't want to introduce them to it. But like, sure they are. I'm just going to do my best to make sure that it doesn't have like they'll get the natural version of the crap. Like they're going to get, instead of Oreos, I'm going to give them Paul Newman cookies because there's no trans fat and no high fructose corn syrup. So anyway, that's all I'm saying. I'm just saying solidarity, ladies. That's it. That was what was on my mind.
That was you.
Woo!
You had that on your mind.
I did, yeah, because God, it's hard. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. What's next?
Well, we're going to do an expert. We're going to be an expert. You're going to be an expert.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good. I'm an expert.
I know.
I'm the expert.
You're the
expert. It's my expert segment.
It's your expert segment.
Oh, good.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are back, and it's now time for the expert segment.
Yeah. This is kind of interesting. This is actually an area... messed up my microphone. An area that I'm not really an expert on. But what I'm going to do, because so many of you guys have asked me to have my mom back on the show, what I will do is bring her on the Daily Dose to talk about the things I'm going to bring up right now. And what I want to bring up is... it's really a new category of disorders. I hate to use this word, but that is the word that's being used. And it's a diagnosis for people with a form of eating disorder or an unhealthy relationship with food that don't fall under the category of anorexia or bulimia.
Okay.
And, you know, I think that... So I read this whole article on it, and I thought, you know, this is really something my mother needs to address because it's... way out of my area of expertise. You know, I have an understanding about these kinds of disorders, and it often has to do with control, self-worth, self-esteem. But so many times, I think we don't even realize when we're doing it. Or we mistake our dysfunction with discipline.
Oh,
we're okay. Disciplined. You know, and I have seen people do this before where it's like, no, I'm disciplined with my diet. And bodybuilders even. You look at, and we can get confused. Is it discipline? Is it health? Like, if you look at a bodybuilder who's so extreme and they can't eat out and, you know, they have to eat on this crazy schedule and they can only eat certain things. And, you know, I did a whole segment for The Insider once on female bodybuilders. And of course, natural, healthy bodybuilding, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you start to get into, you know, the hormones and the extremes and the, you know, we've all seen those kind of...
where you got no boobs left.
Yeah,
the kind of... strange...
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, there's something going on there.
Yeah.
That's definitely the flip side of anorexia, bulimia. It's the same sort of obsessive compulsive disorder. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to bring up a few things. And by the way, if you have a friend who might be struggling with something that you recognize or that we talk about today, just gently talk to them about it if you can, because eating disorders have the highest mortality rate out of all psychiatric illnesses. They kill people. They do real harm to people's physical well-being. And, you know, you could help direct them to the website, and it's called nationaleatingdisorders.org. Help them get a pamphlet, direct them to get help. I never take this on. Whenever we have callers that tell me they've struggled with stuff like this in this area, I always direct them to seek professional help, because it is so complex, and it's not something that I can life coach away.
Right.
Yeah. I wish I could. I wish it was something that I could do, but I just... Yeah. Not even close. We're talking about, this is why therapists go to school. I'd sooner have a better chance of doing open heart surgery. but my point is that we all do have these various idiosyncrasies or dysfunctions in our lives with one thing or another. And food for us is such a thing of control. Even when you look at a teenager who's rebelling against, like with parents, they have an overweight child and they'll ask me what to do. The last thing you do is make an issue out of their weight. Because the first thing they're going to do is rebel against you. Oh, you don't love me this way? You don't love me overweight? Watch this. And they'll eat anything and everything under the sun to prove a point to you.
Yeah.
And it's funny, when I was looking at nursery schools and we were talking about potty training, you know, what if the kids aren't potty trained? And, you know, do you still take them? And talking about foods and this and that. And they were saying that, you know, some of the little kids will go to school and they won't go to the bathroom all day long. And I'm like, I don't, why? Because it's something they can control, and so is the food. So,
oh my God, really?
Whether they eat this or not, when they eat or not, they control that. It's their form of autonomy, and if they go to the bathroom or not, and where they go to the bathroom,
yeah,
I control
that's it. That's right, because little kids sometimes will hold their poo. Like, they won't poo.
Yeah.
And they get constipated because it's, and I didn't realize it was...
Control.
Wow.
It's a form of, like, exerting their own control. If they're feeling out of control.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
According to the specialist who runs the nursery school.
Yeah, no, but that's interesting, though.
So, I thought, God, that's funny, because even as an adult, we're still controlling things with food. You know, it's still a manifestation of anxiety and obsessive compulsiveness. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of these new... I guess disorders.
Orexias.
Nice. That yeah. People are struggling with. And one is pregorexia. And it's so, this one's so hard. You know, we were just kind of talking about this, but so many pregnant women are now feeling the pressure to be perfectly fit and skinny immediately after they have the baby.
Mm.
Now, can you get your body back quick? Sure you can. Yes, of course you can. And can you have a healthy, fit pregnancy? Absolutely. But make no mistake, you do need to gain weight. So you do need, you know, again, like I said, depending on if you started obese, then yeah, you know, they recommend like a 15-pound weight gain. And for a woman that's underweight, they recommend a 40-ish pound weight gain. But for the average bear, they want you to gain like 25 to 35 pounds.
Right.
And you will, I'm telling you right now, you are meant to gain, like you could break it down with blood volume, breast size, uterus, the baby, and I could go through the whole list of things for you that sort of outline what that weight is composed of, but I'm telling you now that at least 6 pounds of it is going to be body fat. And the reason for that is you need the body fat to create milk for the baby. And it's not like, oh my God, you will, yeah, you'll have some body fat. It will go away. You can lose it. It's there for a reason, to nourish the child while you're breastfeeding. So many women feel all this pressure and they think that during the pregnancy, they'll start to diet. I know this is so crazy, but they'll actually start to like work out more and be hyper conscious and vigilant because they're like, oh my God, I'm going to gain weight. I can't gain weight. And that is one of the greatest disservices that you could do to yourself and your baby. And I just believe, honestly, that it's coming from a tremendous amount of social pressure, which we talked about earlier. But what you need to know, that moms who starve themselves, they're going to be at risk for depression, anemia, hypertension, and their malnourished babies are at a much greater risk of miscarriage or being born with birth defects. So, no starving the kid.
Right.
While it's only 80,000 calories to make a baby, you need to eat normally and then add about 300 calories a day to your diet. So it's not eating for two, and it's not under eating either. Another one that a lot of people are doing, this one's kind of interesting. It's called orthorexia, and it's a fixation with healthy or righteous eating. So it could be that
I've met some people that are very, totally. Yeah.
Like you, I don't totally fall under this because I eat out a lot, but.
Oh, no, I wasn't looking at you.
No. But they only eat organic foods, or, which I really honestly, I wish I could only eat organic foods. That one, even though I don't, because like I said, I eat out a lot. Or they eliminate an entire food group from like those paleo people. We don't eat grains. Okay. I don't touch it because they get very, by the way, the people that do this, have you ever noticed whether they're vegan or whether they're paleo, if you go after the diet at all, they get nuts, nutso on you. Yeah. Vegans, look at the, it's so amazing. Look at the comments on our show, right? If you look on iTunes, it's like, love the show, love the show, love the show. Then there's a vegan. You don't know anything, you ignorant bitch. And I'm just like, wow. Okay. Vegan. Incredible. I'm like, this is the spiritual person that doesn't eat animal. But
maybe they're
like,
too weak that they've lost some of their vocabulary.
No. I think that when somebody falls into this, it's like a form, you know, when somebody falls into this, like, I only eat this
way.
And it threatens or offends them when you suggest that it might not be the healthiest thing for them, then it's threatening their way of life. And it's making them
feel... So it's
feel,
way bigger. Yeah.
Yes, it's way deeper. It makes them feel insecure, unsure, overwhelmed. Wow. And it's, you know, and again, it's like a fixation to have sort of complete control. Mm-hmm. And also, you think if you're eating righteously, like it's this... I think it has to do with, to a certain extent, like this compulsive desire to like boost your self-esteem. Like, I never eat meat. Which, by the way, again, if you're a vegan, I'm an animal lover. You have my support. I good for you. I really, really did try it. I tried it for a while and felt like crap and got sick all the time. So for me, I do consume meat in moderation. And I only, you know, you guys have heard me give this spiel before. Grass-fed beef, only ethical seafood, blah, blah, blah. And if you don't do that, that's okay too. It's my job to tell you what's healthiest once again. So with that said, I'm going to say if you find that you are militant about this, It might be worth kind of like, you know, hey, take a look at it, take a step back and ask what's really going on. Because if you are somebody who, not necessarily vegan, but let's say paleo, or, you know, you've removed a food group of some
dairy
sort,
or
you only eat raw or whatever it is, it can cause certain kinds of malnourishment. So just take a step back and maybe loosen the reins a little bit when you can. Great that you're healthy. I love that you're healthy, but to become a vigilante about it isn't exactly good for your brain either.
Loosen the bone, Wilma.
Yeah, Wilma.
That's what I say.
Is that the bone in her hair?
I believe so.
Ooh. Where'd you come up with that?
I heard it once.
And hung on to it?
Uh-huh. Because it makes sense to me. I think that the bone in her hair.
Because her hair's so tight.
Because of the buns. Yeah, the buns
okay.
So tight.
Yeah,
so
loosen the bone. Fine. Good. Next one. Anorexia athletica.
What's that?
Someone who's addicted to exercise.
Oh, yeah. We've talked to.
I know. And look, I mean, if I was to choose which one of these things I would want someone to struggle with, obviously, I'd rather them work out too much as opposed to throwing up. But the truth is, I don't think we should be picking disorders.
Yes.
I'm sure my mother's going to hate that I said that. Again, I'm going to have my mom come on the Daily Dose and talk to us about ways to actually manage these things better. But right now, I just want to create awareness mm-hmm. for you or a friend. And, you know, look, it's like, you're right. We've talked to these people and they feel like if they don't keep up with their rigorous routine, they feel anxious. They feel guilty. They're afraid they're going to pack on tons of weight. But you realize that when you're exercising, like you don't have the weight to lose and you're exercising like 2 hours a day, you know, 2 hours a day in the morning and 2 hours a day at night, you know, 7 days a week and you're never taking a rest. You're actually running the risk of having heart condition, cardiac problems.
Yeah.
And depression.
Because they're held hostage by their
this
the want, whatever.
Well,
their passion,
this vice.
The vice, exactly.
The vice, this coping mechanism. Yeah. So, again, you know, if you're working out beyond that point of what's considered healthy, you know, and again, I'd like to see people, look, if you've got an hour a day in you, awesome. I personally don't have that kind of time. So I've learned how to make 30 minutes really count for me. That's my sweet spot because I am busy. Not as busy as you, Janice, but busy. So point being, though, if you're that girl, you know, think about it. Step back and try to slowly, just baby steps maybe. Come down from 2 hours to an hour and a half and then bring it down to an hour over time. Just so you can slowly start to see, like, look, it's not going to fall apart, right? Nothing's going to happen. You're not going to fall apart. And here's another one that you mentioned to me before, and I didn't believe you. Drunkorexia.
Yeah.
I didn't believe you.
Isn't that something else?
So I'll let you tell everybody what this is.
Well, it's basically drinking your calories. If you don't, that's what it is. You're very concerned about your weight, and so you know you're going to go partying that night, so you don't eat all day because you go, okay, I'm going to be having this and this and this to drink, so I can't have any other nourishment. I'm going to drink my calories.
A study from the University of Missouri found that almost 30% of female college students exhibited drunkorexic behavior.
Where it runs rampant is in school. But, oh, my God.
I mean, let's talk about the things that can go wrong there. Number one, alcohol poisoning. Hello.
For sure, big time.
Number two, what they're calling uninhibited sexual behavior. Here's what that means. We all know what that means. Something happens to you that you really regret. And I think all women who, we've all maybe been there once or twice where we were like, oh God, you know, I think it's something that women feel obviously more than men do, but to varying degrees. I've had friends though as well in college, and it was just like, ugh, for women, it's not the same as boys. I wish that it was. I really do. And this stuff stays with women.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I knew one girl who had an experience in college. I don't want to get dark on the show. This is not what the show's about. But, like, she didn't get raped, but she allowed something to happen that she's regretted. She's 40 now. You know what I mean? You know, when you're young, you don't think about it. And girls watch, like, Girls Gone Wild, and they, you know, they see people like Kim Kardashian making porno tapes and getting rich and famous for it and throwing it on YouTube, and they think, like, it's glamorous. Mm-hmm. It's not glamorous. And let me tell you, it's not going to feel glamorous when you're older. And when you allow yourself to get wasted like that, you run a serious risk of something happening to you along that line. And of course, liver disease.
Yeah.
Hello.
Cirrhosis.
You know, so I actually didn't, I don't know how I got so out of the loop. I didn't believe you when you told me about that, which I feel kind of ashamed about.
That's okay.
But, you know, like, for the young girls that do listen to this, please, I'm just telling you now, as somebody who at one time in my life had been where you're at, like, don't do this. You know what I mean? You don't need to do this. I would even rather, it's like, I would rather you have a buddy system with friends where you look out for each other. Please eat before you go out. You're going to destroy your stomach lining. You could get yourself in some serious trouble. I never, ever, ever want to see anything like that ever happen to you guys. So, we're going to follow up with this segment on The Daily Dose, and we're going to talk to my mother, who is a psychoanalyst about it, and who's going to be able to really give you guys tips and pointers and solutions for how to go after this problem. But I would just say right off the bat, if you recognize it or you recognize it in a friend, go to nationaleatingdisorders.org.
I was just going to say that you made that point earlier, that if it's not in you and you see it in somebody else...
Ugh.
It's a hard topic to broach. Whichever orexia it is, it's tough. But you could be saving. You're not just saving them from that, whatever that is. You're saving their lives.
I agree. And so many times it's a cry for help.
Yeah.
So many times it's like, hi, please help me, please. I don't know how to ask for help. Please help me. So okay.
All right.
Moving on.
Sometimes I feel like I don't have a partner. Sometimes I feel like my only friend is the city I live in, the city of angels. Lonely as I am, together we cry.
So hey, we are back, and Danielle is waiting to talk to you.
Oh, excellent. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am good. I am a police officer in New Jersey, so if I have to hang up quickly, I'll help.
Oh, my goodness.
Here, so
okay. All right. Well, my good. Now I'm stressed out. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Danielle has a call. Are you wearing your Kevlar? Now I'm concerned.
No, I am. I'm wearing my vest. I'm good to go. So hopefully, no worries. I only have a few more minutes left before the end of my shift. So
okay.
But my question was, I'm a police officer, so I'm in pretty good physical shape. So I'm happy about that. But I have two daughters.
Yeah.
And because of those lovely, wonderful little girls, I get to rock the C-section mommy pouch for my lower belly, and that is a very problematic area for me, and I wanted to know if you had any tips for exercises and diet, like what
okay.
I not eat or what I should eat to go ahead and knock that out.
Okay. First of all, you and like a gazillion, a billion other women, you know, it's a very intense procedure. So
okay.
I have found when I was able to personal train back in the day and had helped women when they were ready to start exercising again and to rehabilitate that area, that not only there's a lot of emotion tied up with this. I know this sounds odd and this is probably not the direction you were expecting me to go.
No, it's okay. I kind of know what you mean though. If that's
weird. Okay, good. Okay, good. Cause I didn't want you to be like, you don't know, you're, I don't want to come sort of out of left field with you on that. But, I find that there's a lot, how do I explain this? That we can hold on to, right? Emotion that we can hold on to. And when we have a C-section, there's a lot of, I almost find that we almost psychosomatically hold on to weight there in a weird way. So first, let me give you the answer you're looking for. Okay. In addition to, obviously, we want you to be fat burning, right? So we want you to be doing, exercises and workouts that are gonna melt off body fat. So, on one hand, you know, we want you doing high intensity intervals. You know, for someone like you who sounds like you're in great shape, you could play with Tabata training, which is like 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. So maybe you're on the treadmill a couple times a week, like sprinting at 10 miles an hour, or whatever is your, you know, like your 9 on a level of 1 through 10. So like your rate of perceived exertion, like a 9 to 10, 20 seconds, 10 seconds off, 10 seconds on, you know, for 20 minutes or so. Or you're doing, let's say, boot camp class or, you know, kettlebells or something that's just very metabolic, plyometrics. If, of course, you're comfortable with it and you're fit like that. Those very metabolic, intense workouts, 20 to 30 minutes, they're going to shed fat. Then what I would do is I would throw in a Matt Pilates DVD and yoga, a couple times a week, 2 times a week. And I find that yoga and Matt Pilates are the best for rehabbing your core, for rebuilding your core. So this way you're burning fat and simultaneously conditioning your core in the best possible way, right? I think.
Sounds good. Okay.
Okay. Now, at the same time, you know, diet is going to play a part in this. So in that area, that tummy area, with regard to pooch factor, quite frankly, the more water you drink, the less water you're going to hold. Try to keep your sodium down. The more salt you eat, the more salt you eat, the more water you're going to hold. Foods that are high in potassium, like a coconut water, it's 50 calories and has like 600 milligrams of potassium. Potassium helps to flush sodium out. You know, the less processed foods you eat, like, you know, the white flour, the refined sugar, the high fructose corn syrup, the less of that kind of junk you eat, the less of that little bit of kind of tiny flab you'll have, and the less alcohol you drink, right? I mean, I'm just kind of like, okay, that'll make a huge difference. Enormous.
So I should definitely nix out the Philly soft pretzels 3 a.m. on a midnight shift.
Oh, but honey,
you're so busted.
I know, dear God, Danielle. I mean, that will make an enormous difference. The diet change will make an enormous, enormous. I'm going to send you Making the Cut. It's a book that I wrote years ago for someone just like you. It's a, like shedding the last 10 pounds.
I have a little bit left to go, but that belly area.
I'm going to send you that book because it's all about that, right?
You're awesome. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Now, the last little bit of information I have for you here. This could be as simple as eating right and working out, right? But I think that we get very attached. I have moms that I've worked with and they say to me like, oh my God, and I'm not saying this is baby weight for you, but it could be, you know, the C-section, or it could be, I just haven't been able to lose the baby weight. And like the most recent child, I'm like, oh, when did you have the baby? Oh, he just entered nursery school. I'm like, oh, okay.
I'm not there yet.
Right.
This is 9 months. So I think I'm all right.
You're okay. I'm just saying, I don't want you to get like, I don't want you to hold on to this as though like it's, I want you to now think as much as you can sort of let go of the C-section aspect of it. I want you to try to think more about like, okay, I'm going to give up the pretzels and the alcohol. Does that make any sense? Cause it's almost like the more moms allow themselves to feel or psychologically feel like this has ruined my stomach in the craziest way, the more you're going to hold on to it. I don't know how to explain this to you. I know I sound like a kook, and I don't mean to.
No. That kind of makes sense, because you keep it, I guess, as something to hang on to, that you use it as an excuse.
Yes!
No, not quite?
Yes! Yes!
Okay.
Absolutely. And in addition, I think it's also like, I don't know, in a weird way, it's almost like a, it's like a birth badge of honor too. It's like, this is what is left from the pregnancy. There's just a lot of complex emotions tied up with this.
There's a lot attached to it, but that sounds good.
Okay. And so just temporarily, I want you to take the C-section part of the story and put it out of your mind. And I want you to just not think this is because of my C-section. I want you to think more like, I'm just going to change my pretzels and I'm going to, you know, cut back on alcohol. And I'm going to eat clean. I'm going to follow this little diet plan that Jillian sends me. And then let's see what happens.
Okay. That sounds like a plan. Thank you.
Oh, we have her information to get her stuff.
Yes, I got her number. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So the J Monster will be contacting you and I will get this book out to you right away.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Please stay safe.
I will. Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, it's very, it's tough to talk to moms about this when you haven't had a baby. Cause they're, you know, it's like, you don't know. And you don't know. But at the same time, I found with C-sections in particular, there's a lot that gets held on to with that.
Yeah. That's really interesting to me. Oh, I didn't realize that, but that is fascinating that I can see that. I can see that.
It's heavy, dude. There was one woman I worked with who'd had a C-section, and her kid was two, and she couldn't. We would do this one exercise, right, where she would come up into a sit-up position. I'd sit on her feet, and then I'd have her lay down slowly, mm-hmm. right, and control the weight of her torso back to the ground, slow. And she'd get to this one part where it would engage her lower. This is a fit woman. She'd get to the part where it engaged her abs and just completely collapse to the ground because she just couldn't, she'd feel like a pull or something and freak out and come down, fall down. And then I'd be like, okay, instead of being dynamic, let's just try to hold like a boat pose.
Right.
Tears would flow. And this is not like, I don't want to tell you who this is, but trust me, this is somebody who's like a soldier. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Somebody who's like badass, focused, you know, no victim energy going on. And it's just, there's a lot. Think about what that surgery is. Okay. I mean, I knew a man who was in the hospital room, of course, when his wife was having a C-section, and he's like, oh my God, I saw her intestines and I saw, it's not funny. I don't know why. I mean, it's like they cut you open, remove your insides, take out the baby, put your guts back in and sew you back up. And even
though, God, I didn't know that. I thought they just took the baby out.
Well, they got to get around. Yeah, no, the stuff comes out and it's, I can't even. But look, come on. We do what we got to do.
I didn't realize that. I mean, that's major surgery.
That's the thing. It's like major surgery. And not only is it major surgery, it's traumatic. Mm-hmm. The whole thing, it's traumatic. So I don't know. I just think it's like, it's a tough one. Tough one to address. You gotta have a ton of sympathy, but then you also gotta kind of like, okay, we gotta let this go a little bit to sort of heal it, if that makes any sense.
No, totally.
Anyway.
And the other point that I do have to bring up about that call was I did about the cool is that was very funny. About I'd have just a little bit of baby weight that I just haven't gotten off from the baby.
Oh my God, they do it to me all the time.
I'm sorry.
They do it to me all the time.
He graduated last week.
Here's
he
one
just
for
got
you.
Accepted to UCLA.
Okay. I was working with a celebrity, right?
Oh my God.
I met her when I was speaking for Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I was speaking for Bill. I wanted so desperately to say who this is, but I just in the event that it would make her feel upset. So let's just say that this is like an icon, like one of the biggest icons of all time. All right. She comes up to me and she's at the thing and she walks up to me and I'm like, oh my God. Right. It's so and so. And she's like, would you help me with this? And I'm like, would I help you? You know, you're so and so. I love you.
Yeah.
So I go to the house, and this is a woman who's got to be in her 60s.
Yeah.
I'd imagine. I would imagine she's got to be at least 60. So we're working out, and she's like, you know, I had a C-section. And I'm like, your son is 40. He's got to be 40. I think her son is like a little older than me, I think. You know, I've never been this, I had a C-section, I've never been the same. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so it's...
That's what I'm talking about. And I was like, oh God. And you can't negate it because it's so traumatic for them that when you're like, look, this is not what's actually wrong with you. It's the fact that you've allowed your core to completely fall to pieces and now you have a bulging disc because you didn't do the maintenance on these aspects of your physique. You cannot. I was like, okay, so you had a C-section about 40 years ago. You're laughing. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
And I don't laugh at the person either. It's just,
it's heavy duty, dude. Oh, I mean it. It's serious business. And you got to be real careful where you tread on that one. If I'd had a C-section and I was like, suck it up, you know, but no, I know that I'd be the one 40 years from now going, you know, I had a C-section, right? You know, my spleen was to the left and my liver was in my husband's hands.
Down the hall.
Yeah. So my intestines were a bracelet on my doctor's wrist. They removed. She wrapped it around like bangles, my lower intestine. So you shut up and stop telling me to do plank. I'm telling you. That'd be me. I know it.
Oh, gosh.
I know it. Woo!
Oh.
Anyway, all right.
All right. So, now this is the end of the show.
Time to say goodbye.
It's time to say goodbye.
God, now for all the women who've had C-sections, please, God, we love you.
Yeah.
Don't be mad.
Yeah. No, I'll be mad.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. and I love you.